Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Sunday Night Rugby Review Show here on New Zealand Sports Radio. How are you doing? Hi, I'm Paul and I'll be your host this evening and I'm flying it solo. All have been a bit of a crazy weekend this weekend. Obviously, being Labour weekend here in New Zealand, a lot of people are away doing various stuff and hence that's why I'm on my own. I've ended up having to do about... I reckon I'll finish doing about an hour or so extra driving tonight, just so I was in a house to be able to do this show. So cheers, just the one, obviously, because I'll be driving. But I think I deserve it after the, say, the extra driving, extra miles we'll be clocking on the old car this evening. As I hope you're having a great weekend. Obviously, public holiday here in New Zealand tomorrow. I'll be working. I hope you get the day off do fully enjoy it. I do wonder, actually, why do they not play any minor 10 cup games on public holidays? Why don't they? There's got to be an opportunity there to get crowds in for that Monday game. But no, they keep all the games still on the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You think on long weekends they'd do something on the Monday as well. For some reason, no, they haven't done that. But New Zealand Rugby, perhaps there's an idea for you. So what have we got going? So we kicked off the weekend. We'll go through my Chain Cup, we've got Farrah Palmer Cup. We've got some international action from Europe to talk about as well as Six Nations has returned. Plus we've had a couple of Six Nations warm-ups as well. Also the women's Six Nations has returned as well. And so I'll catch you up with probably what's been going on there. Now, let's be honest, that's what, 13 games have been played already this weekend. I haven't watched them all. I haven't even seen highlights of them all, I'll be honest. But at least I can bring you up to speed with some of the scores and what it all means in the grand scheme of things. So, Minor 10 Cup, what do we do? We kicked off with Otago versus Northland on the... on Friday evening, and I'll be honest, didn't see this result of this magnitude coming, 30-7 in this one. Now, Otago, in my pre-season chat, did say that look, basically success was promotion, failure was anything less. So clearly, they believe that they're in that, and this put them to second in the table, equal on points with Hawke's Bay. So yeah, Otago, they're at the pointy end now. Looking good for obviously the finals and probably for a home home semi-final as well. Otago cruising along nicely, 30-7. I'll be honest, I didn't catch up with this one. I was in the car for this one. I did go though to Bay of Plenty versus Canterbury, and oh boy, this was one that was basically put away in the first 20 minutes. Bay of Plenty getting up in that one in the first 20 minutes. 21-3, I think it was, after 20 minutes from memory. And then also had a yellow card as well. Now, Canterbury had a yellow card. Canterbury, to be fair to them, survived that yellow card really, really well. So it ended up being 22-3 at half time. In the second half, look, with the wind at their back, Bay of Plenty through predominantly a Terry Black, played some fantastic territory rugby, pinning Canterbury back into their corner the whole time. And as I say, some really, some very clever rugby, really playing the conditions fantastically. Now, I've got a couple of interviews from that. So why don't we try and actually have a listen to two of those interviews. I'll just bring them up now, if I can. No, that didn't work. Let's try again. That's going to try and bring up one of these, one of the interviews. Nope, it's not wanting to do it for some reason. I'm not quite sure why that is, unfortunately. Something I have managed to do before, but for some reason they don't want to play this evening. So yeah, I had a chat with Joe Weber and Kurt Eklund. Now in the second half, Bay of Plenty got a yellow card for their hooker, which meant obviously that they had no one to throw in at the lineout. So Joe Weber, with his experience in sevens, where he's done a bit of lineout throwing, stood up to take the lineout, it didn't all go quite to plan. But I say, yeah, fun interview with Joe Weber about that after the game. So check that out on New Zealand Sports Radio Facebook page. I also talked to Kirk Eklund, who ended up sort of going on and off the pitch about three or four times during that period because obviously needed for scrums, etc. So, he played the crowd really, really well, coming off and clapping the crowd each time. One of the things that comes across in those interviews is how much the Bay of Plenty boys like playing in Tauranga. Look, it's not a great stadium. Let's be blunt here, okay? It's very much community rugby. It's a running track with one stand on it. They put up scaffolding temporary scaffolding, a temporary stand-up, have a couple of tents at the end of one end that acts as corporate boxes, and then a bunch of food vans in to do the catering. But it makes for a really good community atmosphere, a really friendly atmosphere there that Bay of Plenty have got, and they really do love playing in Tauranga. Very different to Rotorua, that other location that they play, which is at the International Stadium there. It's where it's obviously the home of the Maori All Blacks, where they play the sort of Lions games, which is very much purpose-built but cold, and doesn't really have the same atmosphere as Tauranga. Tauranga is a much more fun place for them. So 44-8, that finished. Bay of Plenty beating Canterbury. And when's the last time Canterbury lost a game that convincingly? Very, very impressive. I listened to the first half of Hawke's Bay versus Manawatu in the car, driving along. Look, Hawke's Bay really took control of that one early on, really did not look like, never looked like losing the Ranfurly Shield there, did they? Manawatu really not up to the right, not really up to sort of this kind of level. 28-12 at half time, Hawke's Bay really pulled away in that second half, where Manawatu didn't even get a score. So good defense there by Hawke's Bay. Now they've got one more Ranfurly Shield defense against Wellington in a couple of weekends time, and that'll be their final defense of the season. If Wellington do win that, then they'll be defending it in the final round of the season against Manawatu. So Manawatu could get two shots at the Ranfurly Shield, and they'll need to make a much better fist of it against Wellington than they did against Hawke's Bay if they want to have any chance of getting hold of it. Wellington, really impressive side at the moment, so it's going to be a real big game against Hawke's Bay. In between that, though, Hawke's Bay have got Battle of the Bay against Bay of Plenty in Tauranga, which is why I was talking about how much Bay of Plenty like the crowd there, the atmosphere there. Evening, Jordan, good to see you joining me in the live chat. Folks, if you've got any questions or any comments and you are watching the show live, please do feel free to put them in there. You can watch it live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, or you can listen on the go as a podcast, or I'll put the recording out soon after the show finishes. So whichever way you prefer to watch the show, watch or listen to the show. So big game next weekend, Bay of Plenty versus Hawke's Bay in Battle of the Bays. Now, remember, folks, when you see Sky talking about the Bay in reference to Hawke's Bay, that's wrong, because they lost last year. Bay of Plenty are officially the Bay. So anyone who uses the hashtag BAY for VMAN, for example, if that was wrong this weekend, it should be HAWVMAN. They've not earned the right to be called the Bay, or not won the right, yes, to be called the Bay. So anyway, that's game next weekend. You've got to wonder how much will Hawke's Bay have left in the emotional tanks after the Ranfurly Shield defences. It's going to be an interesting one. I'll be at that game next Sunday. So if you're along at the game, you're going to be in Tauranga, let me know. We can catch up and say hi for that one. I always love to take photos with listeners and viewers to the channel. So do let me know if you're there. Then a cracking one on Saturday evening. I guess call the end of this one. But North Harbour versus Auckland, 23-22. Really do wonder about Harbour because, look, they had that cracking win against Tasman and got a couple of good wins on the trot, then went away and got that loss. So you thought, oh, it looked like they got things working. Then they didn't work, and you're wondering. So it's kind of wondering about this one. So this one really was went to and fro. Harbour got up first, but then were trailing 9-15 at half-time. They did get a penalty literally after the buzzer, which was handy to close the gap a little. Then Little comes out, scores a try, which puts Harbour in front. The yellow card to Retina helps them get another try. And at 23-15, they're defending that lead. Kiriwani got over. Plummer puts the conversion over to make it a one-point game. Hickey misses a drop goal. And a knock-on late on meant that Harbour clung on. But wow, cracking game there between Harbour and Auckland. So if you definitely want to watch that one. Not one of the highest scoring games. That's one of Jordan's comments here, is it's a weekend of high scoring games. But look, but an absolutely cracking game nonetheless. Into Sunday then, and I'll be honest, I've not seen these games, but Tasman beating Southland 47-10, not a big surprise, to be honest with you. There is the let's be honest. Counties losing to Wellington 20-53. Wow, big score by Wellington. I didn't expect Counties to win this one, but that really is a bit of a blowout, isn't it? Seeing a couple of comments on Twitter that Kieran Reid was having a good big game, but clearly he could not do it all on his own. So they play for the Jonalomu Cup, which is a fantastic, Jonalomu Trophy. A wonderful wooden 11. It's about this sort of high, fantastic trophy there. I'll see if I can dig out a photo from that I got of it from a couple of years ago that I can put up onto Twitter and the Facebook page, so you can see what that one is there. Jordan, that drop goal attempt from Auckland was an absolute shocker. You are quite right. Cracking trophy there. Congratulations to Wellington taking that back down to the capital. Finally, Waikato versus Taranaki, 27-20. A bit closer than I was expecting, I think, perhaps there. I think Waikato, obviously, at the top of the table currently in the Premiership, up against Taranaki, who have not really been setting the world alight. Won their opening two games, but that was when they had the Barretts there, right? Since then, really kind of struggled, only got one more win. So you'd thought that Waikato, top of the Premiership, should really put Taranaki away a bit more comfortably than that. So, good that the Waikato got the win, but not convincing. And looking at what they've got coming up, Auckland, Bay of Plenty, Northland, a couple of tough ones there, definitely in that. So we'll see if Waikato hold on to that top spot. Currently, they're 2 points clear of Tasman and Auckland, who are both on 25 points, Wellington on 24 points. A bit of a six-point gap then to Canterbury. You've got to say those top four looking good for the finals series, to be honest with you. Bay of Plenty just 1 point behind Canterbury, and then North Harbour just another further point back. So 18, 17 and 16 points. Relegation is going to be really, really tight this year. And we did think Harbour were odds on to go down, but they've really turned things round. Bay of Plenty got that win today over Canterbury, really closed that gap. They've got the bat, they've got some. And if we look at Canterbury's run-in, what does it look like? So they've got Otago, Tasman and Auckland. Ouch. Otago clearly won, they should win. But like I say, they're looking at getting promotion. So they're going to be a tough championship side. And then Tasman and Auckland. Ooh, I can see Canterbury not winning another game this season, to be honest. They should get one at least. Bay of Plenty, on the other hand, Hawke's Bay, Waikato, North Harbour. Ooh, Bay of Plenty, North Harbour, final round. That could be a relegation decider. North Harbour, who have they got left now? Northland, Counties, and Bay of Plenty. And you got to say, Harbour are going to be favourite in the first two there, Northland and Counties. So North Harbour, I mean, Harbour looking really good, actually. They actually, even though they're in that last place there, actually probably got the best run in out of the three teams there in that relegation scrap. So going to be tight there. And wow, wouldn't it be something if we saw Canterbury get relegated? That would be something, a bit of a surprise. Looking at the championship quickly, Hawke's Bay, Otago topped that one on both on 25 points. 18 points is Northland, so 7 points back. A further 3 points back to Taranaki on 15, Southland on 11, then Counties and Manawatu on 5, and 4 points at the bottom there. Manawatu still haven't won a game. Thomas English in the live chat mentions that the NRL do some really big things on public holidays. And you've got to say, yeah, rugby union could learn a few things around the marketing of their game and looking at using public holidays and putting on some games there. So really a bit of surprise, it's like the Labor Day and we have no rugby to watch. Over in the Farrer Palmer Cup, and it was semi-finals time. I'll be honest, I've not seen either of these two, but Canterbury beating Auckland 36 to 21. Not a big surprise there, to be honest. Canterbury odds on favourite to win the whole thing, if we're going to be honest, and have been from the start. Look, they led 17-8 at halftime. Sure, they trailed by a point in the middle of the first half, but look, got themselves out to 29-8, even with a couple of missed kicks. Yeah, Auckland never really managed to get back into it. They got to 29-21, but couldn't really, never got within a score of Canterbury. In the other game, Waikato versus Manawatu. Decent, very good result here by Waikato, but they dominated the first half 19-0. There were three tries in that first half. Just one missed conversion there. They pulled out to 31-0 before the hour mark. So basically way too little, all consolation tries there, or two consolation tries there for Manawatu. But yeah, Waikato, really dominating that semi-final. So it's going to be interesting to see how Waikato do coming up against Canterbury. As I say, Canterbury, the expected winners of this competition before it started, definite favourites. But Waikato, look, they've been really tested against teams like Northland, Auckland Counties. So they've had a much tougher run in to get to the final. And you've got to have those harder games. Will they have prepared them better for this? We will just have to wait and see. Moving then over to the international scene. And over there we had Scotland versus Georgia. As a warm-up game for Scotland ahead of the Six Nations, and also Georgia ahead of this autumn Nations Cup, whatever they're calling it now. I've gone blank as to what it's called again, that they're going to get to be part of with the Six Nations teams and Fiji. I saw this one, Scotland, and obviously I couldn't concentrate the full game because, you know, it was just too onside. Scotland 48-7 in this one, absolutely dominated. That game, scored in the first couple of minutes and never really looked back. I think Georgia never really in this game. It's been a damage limitation at times there for Georgia. Ireland beats Italy 50-17, slightly closer, but not much, let's be honest, in that Six Nations game. Look, this is the middle of the night. I didn't watch it. I'm not going to watch it, let's be blunt. At this one, 24-3 at half time. Conor Murray, yellow card in the first 3 minutes. Interesting. Ireland won this one all the way there. The game of the weekend, as far as internationals go, has got to be that France versus Wales game. Look, Wales came out of the blocks firing, and I thought there was a good chance that this was going to be a Wales win because basically, the arguments have been happening between France and top 14. How much preparation time has this French team really had compared to the Welsh team, which you'd think have been together a lot more? And Wales came out firing and went up 10-0 in the first sort of 10 minutes. Got themselves France came back with a try, and Wales answered with a penalty. Okay, look, but then Wales just got opened up with two Dupont tries. Moments of France sort of eventually sort of figured out the Welsh defence, figured out how to open it up, and boy, just went straight through like a hot knife through butter. Some real nice rugby there by the French for those two tries. And it was kind of penalties then from a swap of penalties. Dan Biggar missing a couple of penalties, surprisingly. Wales not really looking like scoring so much. Teddy Thomas, oh, what a wonderful try towards the end of there. Pegged in on the right-hand wing, really got no space or anywhere to go, so just chips over the player in front of him, collects it, and runs over and touches down untouched. Made wonderful piece of skill. Yes, he did slice the kick slightly, but hey, was composed enough to follow, keep his eye on the ball, knew where it was going, got himself under it. Yeah, so did he kick it exactly where he wanted to? No, he didn't, but that didn't matter. Wonderful piece of individual skill for that try. And look, France have got those players that they can flick on and have those moments of magic, which will help them get put on point. So 38-21 there by France. I guess one of the things I've kind of forgotten, didn't take into account, is a lot of these French players have been playing with each other through the age grades. So it doesn't matter so much when they don't have a lot of preparation time. One of the things Ben Darwin talks about is connectivity within a team. And as these guys have played together over these age grades, they know how each other plays. A lot of them play together in the same teams as well. Impressive. They don't need the sort of 3-week training camp ahead of internationals. But yeah, impressive result there by France. Over on the women's side of things, Ireland beat Italy 21-7 in the Women's Six Nations there, and Scotland v France is overnight tonight for this one. Jordan Clark, thank you so much for the super chat there. Those of you watching on YouTube, yes, you can do super chats, which that money comes to me. So thank you very much for that, Jordan, for that $20 there, much appreciated. Thank you. So where does that leave the? We should sort of catch up on the Six Nations then. In the Six Nations, that means that Ireland, England, and France have all won 3, lost 1. Ireland with one more bonus point, they lead the table 14 points. England and France on 13 points. Scotland on 10. Wales on 7, having won 1, lost 3, pardon me, and Italy on 0. Looking at the games coming up next weekend then, obviously the England-Barbarians game was cancelled, so England don't have a warm-up game ahead of their game against Italy, but you'd expect they'd win that with a try and bonus point, which puts pressure on Ireland. Ireland and France play each other, so you've got to say that's... we have got a cracking finale to this. Obviously, England will play, sorry, not obviously, England do play Italy before that France-Ireland game. So both teams will know exactly what they need to do to try and win the championship. Will be an absolute cracker. Earlier in the day, kicking off the Super Saturday, it is, even though they're on Sunday here in New Zealand time, Wales will play Scotland, but in all honesty, that's... talking about minor places there, who comes fourth, who comes fifth, not really inconsequential in the sort of things. Also next weekend, don't forget, we have got the Rugby Championship kicking off with Australia versus New Zealand, Bledisloe Cup 3 for that one over in Australia. Just having a quick look on the women's side of things. Sorry. Yeah, oh, I got the right mute button this time, so I hope you didn't have to hear me sneezing there. Over on the women's side of things, look, England and Ireland have both played four games. England top table on 19 points, Ireland with four wins. Ireland with three wins and a loss, second in the table with 13 points. France in third, so they're playing Scotland today or tonight. You expect them to win that one, so they've got they're on 11 points with two wins from their three games. Italy have got one win from their three games. Scotland winless and Wales winless as well. Wales lost all four of their games so far. Both of those two on 1 point there. So, yeah, Italy looking at a good mid-table score. But as you can see there, it really is England. Oh, they've got plus 45 points, points difference. France plus 79. So England and France really at the top. And then everyone else beneath them, and at the moment Ireland being the strongest of those ones, and look, their final games against France, and you'd expect France to win that one, as I say. So England and France going to finish 1-2 in this one, and then the rest beneath it there, and that's the kind of the way that the women's game is currently internationally. So thank you everybody for joining me on this Sunday evening. Sorry there's no guests tonight, but we'll be back into regular action next weekend post Bledisloe Cup game, where we'll review the Bledisloe Cup and the Mitre 10 Cup, plus the Farrell Parliament Cup final as well, and also those Six Nations games. So yes, a packed edition for you next week. And don't forget to join me on a Tuesday night for the Driving Mall Show at 8 p.m. Hopefully, we'll have Dwayne on the Tasman scrum half. We'll be able to talk about that game they had against Southland today, and also other pieces. We'll probably talk to him about what it's going to be like for Fiji, actually, being part of that Eight Nations. It's going to be a good topic to talk to him about. Obviously, being a Samoan international, the understanding what the Pacific Islanders get access they get. And also, we'll have Burr on there, sort of a preview, I think, have a little bit of a preview of the Bledisloe Cup action as well. So join me on Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. for the Driving Mall Show. Thank you, everybody. Have a great end to you. Actually, you've got a long weekend, folks. So enjoy the rest of your long weekend.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.